What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the Wells Cast with Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What up, everybody? This is like a weird day for me. I'm excited to do this show. I'm excited to be back in a radio studio. I haven't been in one in a couple weeks, but it's also sad for me because I spent the majority of my life in a radio studio in Nashville, Tennessee. And last night, something crazy happened in Music City, USA. A tornado went and ripped through basically the heart of the town. 5 points, which is like a mile away from where my house was absolutely decimated. Germantown was flattened. A lot of buildings in Mount Juliet and just surrounding areas of Nashville were hit really, really hard by this tornado. And it just breaks my heart because that's a place that obviously is very important to me. And, you know, a couple years ago, there was a huge Nashville flood and everyone joined together and were able to rebuild that city to be even more badass. And I know that's going to be the case again this time, but it is a serious issue that's going on. A lot of people, I think the last thing I saw was like, I don't know, over 20 people are dead in Nashville. And it's just going to take a lot of help to rebuild that city. And if you have any money, or if you've ever been to Nashville and gotten drunk on Lower Broadway and just appreciated the town, go to cfmt.org. And that'll kind of filter you into places to help the Tennessee Emergency Response Fund. Or you can just follow me at Wells Adams on Twitter or Instagram. I've got links there. But anyways, thoughts, prayers, good vibes, all that kind of stuff to everyone in Nashville, Tennessee. Crazy, crazy, crazy night. All right, pivot over to the Wells Cast today. Very, very excited to have our guest on. This is a guy who won season 3 of Survivor. He also was on the Survivor All-Stars, didn't win, but was again on the show, and now he's on the most recent Survivor All-Stars, playing for $2 million. This is a guy who won $1 million, took that money and went and started a charity, grassroots soccer, that's helping kids all over the world. This is a guy who went on the Survivor, won, started grassroots soccer, and then was diagnosed with cancer. This is a guy who's been on every freaking competition, reality TV show, and done well every single time. This is a guy who played collegiate and then professional soccer. His story is bonkers. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we have the Wells Cast with Ethan Zahn. You do not want to miss it.
Mm-hmm. Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
All right, back in the Wells Cast. Very excited to have a reality TV legend on the show today. A man who won, I think, the first like truly iconic reality TV show in Survivor on season 3. Ethan Zahn, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah? Thank you so much for having me. This is a pleasure.
Now, this was back in the day in which I was obsessed with Survivor. I remember your season very, very vividly, and I just remember being like, I could totally do this. And me and my brother, like, before I ever, it's so funny because my brother was contacted to go on The Bachelorette, and then I ended up doing it. But we were like, no, we want to do Survivor. And they're like, no, dude, you're not doing Survivor. So you're back at it again.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
I took a 16-year hiatus.
Yeah.
I had hung up the Survivor boots, and then I had to resurrect it and get off my couch, start training again, get ready for Survivor season 40.
Yeah.
40. You were just talking about season 3.
Yeah.
We're on season 40, and it's called Winners at War, and they brought back 20 of the most popular, epic, legendary Survivor winners of all time to compete again. But this time, it's not 1 million, it's 2 million bucks.
Okay, it should have been 40 million bucks, though. That doesn't make any sense to me. First of all, Survivor is not a young man's game.
No.
So you're,
no, it is a young man's game. No,
yeah, sorry, it is a young man's game. And you...
I'm not young.
You're not anymore. I mean, like, this was a long time ago that you won. One more $1 million. I don't understand. Why are you coming back for this?
Well, you know, I first time I played, I was 27 years old.
Yeah.
Second time I played was 30 years old. And then now I'm 46. And it was just an incredible opportunity. I mean, this show literally changed my life back in the day. And for those folks who are listening that don't realize the history of reality television, like, back in 2001, like, reality shows weren't that prevalent. There weren't that many of them out there. And Survivor was one of the most popular ones. And so I was jumped at the chance back then. I jumped at the chance here. And I'd been through some pretty significant health challenges. And so for me to get back to a place in my life where I'm physically and mentally, like, capable of taking on Survivor and everything it has to offer was a huge win for me. So just getting to day one was like a gift.
Okay, well, later on the show, I want to talk about some of your health scares and your issues, but it seems to me that any doctor worth his salt would be like, no, you are not allowed to do this. How are you able to go and play again?
I got a lot of medical checkups.
Yeah,
I needed a little extra time from, I said, hey, CBS, seriously, I need an extra month to get all my health checked out. But I wouldn't say the doctors said it was a good idea.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a good idea. You know, it's a perfect little bookend.
Okay.
To this incredible life.
Wait, famous last words. It was a good idea. Play that clip where it was not a great idea.
It's a tough challenge right now, and I'm struggling to get through it. So I got to finish by sundown. So I'm going as fast as I can. I'll go until my legs collapse or the sun goes down. I may not finish, but I'm not going to stop.
You're insane. What are you doing?
We're all insane.
I think it's so fun when I like look back on my time on reality TV. I was like, oh my God, it's just so hard. I just don't want to get dumped on national TV. And you're like, it's a good chance I might die out here.
Right.
I don't know. So coming back, was it fun? Because the game has changed, right?
Definitely.
Talk about the beginning of, like, you were there in the beginning when it was like, you know, you get kicked off the show, and now it's different. Talk about then and now.
I think back in the day, old school style, you know, there was no clues, idols, ways to get back in the game, no Edge of Extinction. Now they even have a currency. There's a currency on Survivor. There's this like little economy going on. And so for me to grasp onto these new like ways to play the game was difficult. Like, it was slow motion back then. We were playing the game underwater. Now it's like rocket fuel. People are like moving back and forth. Information's passed left and right. There's so many different ways to get ahead in the game. And I think, I don't know if it's better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different.
Yeah.
You know, they have to keep mixing up the game, keeping it fresh, keeping it exciting for the audience. So I understand that. But to me, like, Survivor at its core is like, if you get voted off, game over,
done,
go home.
Yeah.
So this, like, you know, living in the Edge of Extinction thing is a little bit mysterious.
Yeah, I mean, like, I see it both ways, but for me, it's like, ain't broke, don't fix. Like, the show has always been awesome. You don't need to keep on, like, making it crazier. Did you watch the show since your seasons, or have you, like, kind of been like, okay, that was, that was years ago, and now I'm doing other stuff?
I definitely watched the show.
Okay, so you've been keeping up on all the stuff.
Definitely keeping up. But, leading up to this season 40, I went back and watched some of the seasons. I missed a season or two here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Around like 2009 to 12, 13, I didn't watch that much. But I went back and watched them all. And, I mean, to watch them all in a row, one after another, is, you know, pretty crazy. Because I actually went back and watched Survivor Africa. Because I had only watched it once when it was on TV, when all my friends are around in New York City. It was nuts. So I didn't really focus on it. So my wife and I went back and watched it over because I wanted to know how I presented myself, what I was like. And I went back. I didn't even recognize myself. Like, who is that? Like, innocent young guy. You have no idea what's about to happen to you. Your life is going to be so crazy. But, you know, I think that helped me kind of figure out how other people would respond to me out there in this new season of Survivor and how they relate to me. Because at its core, Survivor is a game of relationships. That's it.
Yeah. How has the response been this season? Just with, I mean, Survivor has a crazy fan base. So is everyone pumped to see you back, or are people talking trash on Twitter? Like, what's the response?
In general, I think people are excited to see me back.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while. And like I said, there's been some stuff in my life. So I think people are just excited to see me back.
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to that.
You didn't win, right? Or we wouldn't be able to do this show. Is that correct?
Well, let me back up a little bit. What's happening now, the way the show is constructed, when you're voted out, you don't go home. You go to this place called the Edge of Extinction.
Oh man, it's lost.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And on the Edge of Extinction, you're in purgatory. It's like a world between life and death, because you can play, there's a completely parallel game going on in the Edge of Extinction.
Okay.
You can win challenges out there, win these fire tokens, and there are ways to get back into the real game.
Okay.
So basically, you're never gone. You're never voted out.
Wow.
Unless you pull a flag. That's the torture. in the middle of this tiny little island on the edge of extinction, there's a flagpole. And if you pull up that flagpole, you get to go home and eat your Doritos.
Yeah.
But if not, you're still there. And so that's kind of how this game has worked. So based on what's happening now in the show, what happened, I was voted off last episode, sent to the edge of extinction, and the challenge that we all just heard, that was this next challenge that's coming up on the edge of extinction.
Okay, I understand. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yes, there is. That's what's beautiful about, that's how they redeveloped the game. I think it's incredible that they do this stuff.
All right, so $2 million still on the table.
Yeah.
I love that.
But we didn't know. We didn't know going into it that it was going to be $2 million.
Jeff, oh, really?
Yeah. We showed up on the beach and we lined up in a big giant line. And Jeff Probst, who's the host of the show, is like, all right, guys, blah, 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 blah. Challenge. Just like, oh, yeah. One more thing. It's $2 million instead of $1 million. We're like, what? It was insane.
Wait, did your agent know about it at least?
No one knew about it. I don't have an agent, but no one knew about it. And like we all came back to play for what we thought was $1 million.
Yeah.
So this was just the icing on the cake.
Wow.
Well, have you ever played for $2 million, anything?
No.
Right. $1 million?
No.
It's weird, right?
I played for love.
Aww.
That's what I played for. And it didn't, well, it worked out in the end, but like it didn't work out at the time.
Did you meet someone that was on the show?
No.
Oh, okay.
I met someone outside the show, but I'm engaged and everything's going great.
Great.
Thank you so much. So, like if you compare the two, or I guess three, do you have a favorite? The first one's your favorite?
Yeah, the first one, I would say Africa. It was a new adventure, 27 years old, middle of Africa. We had animals like all around. There's a real threat to danger. Mm-hmm. You know, that was exciting. And for me, I was never super motivated by the prize, but I was a soccer player, you know, an athlete. I wanted to win, do well at the challenges. And I just think this game is so incredible because it touches on every single part of you as a human being, mental, physical, social, spiritual, environmental, all that stuff. Like, and you got to push yourself and then you got to push yourself a little further. And to be able to do that on the world stage with millions of people watching is like, it's a rush and it's exciting for me. And that's what I kind of looked for.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure if anyone told you like the premise of this show, but I am obsessed with how people got to where everyone knows who the hell they are.
Oh.
So this is an origin story podcast.
Okay.
But a lot of what I want to know about you kind of happened in between people knowing who you were. So I want to get to that as well. But tell everyone, where are you from?
I grew up outside Boston, a place called Lexington, Massachusetts, but now I'm currently living in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Granite State, live free or die.
And are you like a only child? Do you have siblings?
I'm the youngest of three.
Okay.
Older brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm married. I have two cats. I don't have children. I lived in New York City for the longest time. And then we recently moved to New Hampshire to kind of do the whole off the grid thing. So we live in the middle of the woods, no neighbors, all that stuff.
So you were telling me kind of off air that you were a soccer player. You played collegiate soccer. Is that something that you did kind of growing up? That was, you were like a prodigy soccer player?
I think I was, like I said, I had two older brothers who just liked to like pummel balls at my face. So I ended up being a goalkeeper.
Okay.
So I was a goalkeeper growing up. I went to played soccer as a youth. Played soccer in college and then I went on to play soccer after college, and I played 6 years professional.
Wow.
And one of those years was in Zimbabwe. So I played in the Zimbabwe Premier League for a team called the Highlanders Football Club, which was an incredible eye-opening experience to me. And that was one of the moments in my life that put me on another trajectory.
And little did you know, years later, you'd be back in Africa.
Right, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Sweating your balls off.
I know. My God. I know.
Wait. So were you the only American on the Zimbabwean team?
Yeah. I mean, there was two of us.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It actually started back in the day. I don't know if you remember a guy by the name of Andrew Hsu. He's on a TV show called Miro's Place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Graduated from Dartmouth. Anyway, he went over to Zimbabwe in the late 80s and played there, and they won the championship. And so ever since then, they wanted to bring over at least one U.S.-based white American players because they think they had to have at least one white dude on the team in order to win the championship. They're all about good juju, bad juju. So I was kind of like that token white guy.
Yeah.
And the funniest moment of my entire time there was my first, I was backup goalkeeper, mm-hmm. and like I couldn't really communicate that well, language barriers, but I finally got 20 minutes in one game during the whole season, and the whole like fan support's behind me. So I'm running down there. I had long, big curly hair back then, and it's raining a little bit, and the fans, they're all cheering for me. Like, this is incredible. They freaking love me. They're going, yeah. Makiwaza, Makiwaza. I'm like, they're yelling like Captain America or like Team USA. I'm like, this is great. Ah, best moment of my life. Run off the end of the game. I talked to the starting goalkeeper. I'm like, dude, they love me. He's like, do you know what they were saying? I was like, no. He's like, they were yelling, pubic hair, pubic hair, pubic hair. And I was like, okay. And then in the paper the next day, it said, Evans Zoe makes an appearance. Meanwhile, my name's Ethan Zahn, and they call me pubic hair. It's like the craziest moment of my life.
Oh, we have similar hair, too.
Yeah, so. We do. This whole office is full of curly hair.
Okay, so... was that the end of the road in soccer, was playing in Zimbabwe, or did you like come back stateside and play here?
Yep. So I came back and played one more year here.
Yeah.
And then I realized it wasn't going to be the next superstar and had to make a change in my life and moved to New York City, got a job in advertising,
mm-hmm.
but they ended up firing me before I even walked in
did
to
they
start
know?
The job.
Who the hell, you were pubic hair.
I was then Mr. Pubic Hair.
Firing you?
I know, freaking. How dare they?
What were they
like,
thinking?
All I owned in my life was cleats and sweatpants. I went and I bought shoes and a suit. I had a belt. I had a tie.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was a hiring freeze literally in 4 days before I was supposed to start the job. They said, nah, nationwide hiring freeze, can't come in. And that's when I was like bored in New York City. I had a roommate. I'm like, what do you want to do today?
Yeah.
Like, well, let's make a video for Survivor. I'm like, sure. So we may or may not have had some drinks during the day or some other, you know, substances that were fun. And we went around the New York City and made a video. And I was supposed to make a video for him and he was supposed to make a video for me, but we ran out of time for my buddy. And we just sent him my video. And then like I got the call and that story goes from there. But it was really a giant, like successful list of failures is kind of what got me to Survivor. If you're looking to how I got there.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, that's crazy. So were you a big Survivor fan? Obviously, if you wanted to make the video and get on the show, right? But you've only probably seen one season. I assume they are probably filming season two at the time that you made the video. I don't know, but that's how my like production brain works. So it was a relatively unknown show, right?
Definitely. But, I mean, I was like trying to figure out how to get a video to them like on like dial up. You know, an internet, and we made two VCRs, editing it back and forth, stayed up all night. But there was only two seasons. The first one, Survivor Borneo, Survivor Australia. And so I had only seen maybe half of Survivor Australia before it was time to send in a tape. So we didn't really know much about it. This was the beginning of reality TV.
I love it. We had like The Miz on the show. Nice. I mean, he's from... I
love that guy.
Yeah, you know, he's done a million freaking reality TV shows, but Real World was kind of his first claim to fame. And I loved hearing kind of his casting story. Everyone's heard mine. So tell me. Well, I could tell you really quickly. They were like, this idiot looks like he'll not kiss a girl for 8 episodes. Get him on the show. By the way, Ethan is good friends with one of the EPs in The Bachelor. His name is Bennett. And I remember having a conversation with Bennett, and he was like, you know what? Because it was like episode 8, and he was like, you haven't kissed her yet. And I was like, I haven't had any time to kiss her, dude. And he was like, you know what you should do? You should play hard to get. And I was like, you are right, sir. And then looking back, that was the dumbest freaking idea. It was a dating show. Why was I playing hard to get? So
I can't listen to Bennett. No, that's the moral of the story.
Cannot. So you make this video. How long until Survivor hits you up? I assume Probst is one who calls you.
No, back in the day, I wish it was Probst. You know, it was just casting people.
Yeah.
You know, traditional story. I'm like, no, who the hell is this? Mm-hmm. No, you know, who's joking me? All that stuff. And then, yeah, phone calls. Then you go for casting and all that. Do they do like personality tests and psychological tests for about? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 500 question psych eval. And the questions are messed up. It's like, would you want to be a park ranger? And you're like, I don't know. And then the next one's like, do you ever have thoughts of killing your best friends? Like, well, I'm rethinking the park ranger thing.
Do you read tabloid magazines? Do you like to sit in the corner of the room? You know, it's like weird, you know.
Yeah. And then you blame people for your failures? That's a big question. You're like, I don't know. Some people, I guess.
They just want to be able to win $1 million.
Yeah. Okay, so so they hit you up. You have to go through all the stuff. Now, I've heard the... I mean, like, do you come in with, like, a bunch of people, and are you, like, around a bunch of potential cast members, or are you segregated from everybody?
You're segregated from everybody. So you're each given your own hotel room. You, back in the day, we were there probably a week, 5 days, and psychological testing, personality, photo shoot, you can work out. Sometimes they knock on your door at, like, 2 a.m, see what you look like without, you know, your hair done or women makeup on and stuff. So that whole casting process was an adventure in itself. But yeah, keep you separated. You don't see many people.
They eventually say, okay, you're on the show.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, they totally did.
Do you call your family and be like, so I'm not going to talk to you for a couple months. Might die. Like, how does that conversation go?
I mean, lucky for me that I had a history of just kind of disappearing in general. Like, I was in Zimbabwe playing soccer, you know, went to Israel, all this stuff. Like, people, I just disappear. So that wasn't so difficult, and I didn't have a traditional 9-to-5 job at the time. But calling my mom, my nice, wonderful, overbearing Jewish mother, was like...
What's her name?
Rochelle.
Okay.
Rochelle.
Thank you.
Rochelle's on. She's the greatest. And, but yeah, like, one, she didn't really know what the show was all about. So it was okay. But then when I came back and I'm like emaciated, I look like a Hasidic Jew. And like, she's like, what's going on? And all this stuff. And that's when, then she started crying. She's like, honey, were you cold? Were you tired? You know, were you hungry? And I'm like, yes, all of the above.
Yes. But look at my bank account.
Right. Exactly. Right. Growing up as a, you know, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, or a disappointment. Yeah. So for me, this was a great opportunity to show her I was worth something.
Okay. So you go on the show, and is it as bad as it seems? Because it seems pretty bad on the show. Or is it so much worse?
I would say it is a lot worse than what you guys see. Because don't forget, I mean, you're a student of reality television, but a lot of it doesn't get made to the air. Like in Survivor especially, there's a lot of downtime. The days are long, the nights are longer. Like, that's what it's all about. So you get in your own head and you start ruminating and you try to, you know, all this stuff is going on. So for me, the mental side of things was always more difficult than the physical side of things. I was a soccer player like yourself, hung out, thought I did good in the challenges, but having to get to a point where you're breaking relationships or hurting your friends or people you thought were your friends, lying, cheating, doing what you needed to do to get it in the game, that was difficult for me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, back to the casting to tie that up, they said to me that the reason we're putting you on the show, this is back in Africa, is like, you're kind of opposite than everyone else. Like, you're not necessarily the A-type personality, you know, where you have peaks, they have, you know, valleys and vice versa. And so I think I was like an experiment. Like, what's going to happen if we put this, like, normal, average, like, compassionate, empathetic person on the show? And that's what happened.
Well, yeah, it worked out, I guess.
I think so. I think in that way it did, yeah. I had a good game, that game, and that's the beauty of the game. You can play 100 different ways and win it different ways.
What is the one, what is the thing that sucks the hardest that people don't really understand or comprehend about playing Survivor?
I mean, you never, ever have anything that's got, like, a back to it.
Yeah.
You know, so you're always like hunched over, you're sitting in the dirt, or you're trying to lean up against a tree. You're just never comfortable.
Yeah.
You're uncomfortable for 39 days. And so that's one of the things that I thought was the most, people don't really realize that. For us, you know, in Africa, getting water was a lot of difficult. It's a whole day to go get water, 45 minutes, you get the water. We actually shared our water source with, like, all the rest of the animals.
Yeah.
So, like,
no,
we'd have
I remember.
To wait, and we'd have to push away big piles of elephant. And then we'd, like, fill up our water, strain it, boil it, wait till it cool, and then you could drink it.
Yeah.
Now, there are wells,
mm-hmm.
no pun intended, on the show where you can just kind of dip in and get your own water. So, like, it's the survival aspect has been diminished these days.
Kids these days.
Frick, you right? Know? Millennials.
Back in season 3.
Millennials.
You know, it was uphill both ways in the snow, and now they got wells?
And everyone, like, you know, going back on this current season of Survivor 40, there's, if you've watched up until now, there's a little bit of the old school, new school divide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, you know, I'm the old elder statesman, like, exactly. Back in the day, we had to do this in the, so it's been there.
The one thing that I think that I'm I feel is a common denominator between all reality television shows is that camera crews and sound guy, just the crew in general, disappear very, very quickly for you. I assume that that's how that is for you guys, especially because you guys are under so much stress that you're really not worried about anything else. Now, for me, and this is so sad, but it's true, like the thing that like I was craving the most when I did those shows was they take away your phone. I was like, dude, let me get some Twitter real quick. You know, like I'll do anything for some Twitter right now. Yeah. But those guys, I assume, you know, it's hot out there. They've got like, I would assume bottles of water and like Nutri-Grain bars and stuff. Were you ever just like, I need to steal from the sound guy over here?
Yeah. Every moment of every day, you're like that. But I think that, yeah. They do an incredible job of disappearing. You know, they're not allowed to chew gum, wear scented lotions, watches, drink water, eat in front of you. They don't even wear they don't wear the watches because we don't know what time it is ever. Yeah. So they do a really good job of keeping us like in the dark in a way. But yeah, like every moment you're trying to engage in conversation and they just nothing. Like at the time, this most recent one, we filmed in Fiji and it was a Champions League final. And so I'm a Tottenham Hotspurs fan, and like this guy was wearing like a Spurs hat, and I'm like, dude, you just please give me the score, and he was just like quiet the whole time. The entire time I was out there, could not get the freaking score out of him.
That's brutal,
horrible.
Dude.
I was willing to give him my fire tokens and like my 4 grains of rice. He still wouldn't do it.
Listen, guy, I've had diarrhea for 7 days in a row. Just tell me the score.
Yeah. I mean, if I had diarrhea, I'd be happy. Like, you're not doing anything out there.
Really?
The one thing that they teach you out there is, you know, there's a 4-day, like, how not to die on Survivor course.
Seems like it should be longer, but okay.
It should be definitely longer. And they teach you kind of like the dip and dump, you know, how to take a dump in the water
and
do it properly to make sure, like, you know, because there's no toilet paper out there. But you don't really go that often. Well, this season people went because there's a lot of coconuts, so those...
Yeah, diuretic.
Yeah, diuretic. Yeah. But anyway, if anyone needs to learn how to dip and dump, hit me up on Cameo. I'll teach you how.
The old aqua dump. Okay, so, I mean, I could talk to you about this forever, but I'm running out
about
of time.
About dumping?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Okay. So you win.
I did.
You win $1 million.
Yeah.
You get off the show. You do something really cool with the money. What do you do?
I use that money to co-found a charity called Grassroots Soccer.
Yeah.
And we are an adolescent health organization that uses the power of soccer to educate, inspire, and mobilize young people to make healthier choices in life.
Okay.
And the reason I had my time in Africa playing soccer, I had a couple of friends pass away from AIDS. And these are is actually the starting goalkeeper, guy I trained with every single day. And so at that time in my life, 27 years old, didn't have any money. I didn't know, like, what can one person do to help this massive problem in all of Africa? So I didn't do anything, to be honest. It wasn't my problem. Shelved it. Fast forward to Survivor. While I was on the show Survivor, I won a reward challenge where I won these 2 goats, which I wasn't so happy about. But I got to take these goats to this village of Wamba, and I was hanging out in the parking lot of Wamba Hospital, and I just started playing hacky sack with all these little kids. And I later found out that these kids were HIV positive. Mm-hmm. So here I am in the middle of this game, this cutthroat game of Survivor, and I had this real life experience. So when I got off the show, I really wanted to do something, I don't know, good with the money. Like, you had 15 minutes of fame, I had a chunk of money, great platform that Survivor gave me, and we started Grassroots Soccer.
Where can people find out more about Grassroots Soccer and, like, I don't know, be involved in it?
Sure. Grassrootssoccer.org. I highly encourage everyone to check it out, and you know, just tell a friend about it. It's really what we want to do. We're currently operating in 50 countries, and we've graduated 2.3 million kids from the program.
No way.
Yeah, totally. So people often think about Survivor as a show that's creating fans around the world, but like what they don't realize is this show, for me, has been a springboard to a life that I would have never been able to do by starting Grassroots Soccer and saving lives around the world. And so I think that's a really neat thing to know about the show Survivor and bring that forward till now. Every year they auction off all the props you see in the show on eBay to raise money for Stand Up to Cancer, for cancer research, which is wonderful as well.
It's amazing. Awesome.
What is Bachelor doing?
I was just going to say, like, I feel all I've done is sold diarrhea tea and started a podcast. So, but they don't give me any money at the end of it.
Right,
that's my excuse.
You don't get tips out there?
No. We're going to talk to your boy Bennett, all right?
I'm going
to. I get nothing.
Maybe we
out
can
there.
Introduce a bachelor currency.
Mm-hmm.
Where
like
it's
a token.
Like some sort of token yeah. of appreciation, maybe.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Because those guys don't appreciate me at all.
No, they should more. I really...
You don't even get to see the B-roll of me walking around cleaning up cups.
I think you need a bigger role. So this is my philosophy about you.
Yeah.
And tell me if I'm
Do
wrong.
Do you watch the show?
Yeah, of course I watch the show.
Wow.
My wife loves the show. She loves you. And we feel... I feel that Bennett and Chris Harrison are just grooming you to be the next Chris Harrison.
No, no, no. I've heard that a lot. And here's the thing, because I'm good friends with Chris. It's
know,
the same thing
joking.
with like Jeff. There can be no other, you know, he's like the Highlander. There can be only one. I wouldn't want to be like Harrison 2.0,
right,
you know,
right,
like yeah. I'll go do my own thing. I like making, first of all, I like my gig, like making
your
the drinks
great.
And giving people bad advice and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. I do need some tokens and maybe we do like need like a purgatory in paradise where like
yes.
you get dumped, but like you're still there. You know?
How do you get back into the game? How do you get another date if you're in the
I don't know. Dean
area.
Shaved his mustache. There's got to be a way to get back
Dean,
in,
dude.
You know?
Bachelor in Paradise is the place to be.
Yeah.
Do you think people play the regular Bachelor to get on the Paradise version?
I mean, I wouldn't.
Like, because now it's not just. Now you're like on Survivor. Some people are playing to get asked back. They don't care if they win or lose
yeah.
the first round. They're playing to make a statement, make a big move. So like they'll be asked back for a returning season.
Yeah.
I'd imagine some of the players have that in their mind when they're playing Bachelor.
When I first went there, it wasn't the show that it is now. It was kind of like, I don't want to do that show. It's kind of trashy. And now it's very popular. So I think that now it's not the worst thing in the world if you get dumped, if you get to go spend a month on the beach in paradise.
Yes.
Unless you're Blake and then everything looks real bad on TV. I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you. So after you win $1 million, you start this amazing charity.
Yes.
You do other reality TV shows.
I do.
But also, you get sick in this time frame.
Yeah.
So what happens first?
I go on... reality TV gives you cancer, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was a joke. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like that I have... I can make those jokes. If I offended anyone, I'm sorry. But yeah, Survivor All-Stars, Amazing Race, Fear Factor, everything. I did all of it. You did the whole washing
yeah.
machine of shows that, back in the day. But in 2009, I was diagnosed with a rare form of blood cancer called CD20 positive Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
I'd never heard of it either. Don't worry. Multiple rounds of chemotherapy, 22 blasts of radiation, and I had an autologous stem cell transplant, which... got the disease into remission, which was great. And I was in remission for 20 months. And then I relapsed and the cancer came back. And obviously, you know, getting the news that the cancer returned was deflating, exponentially more difficult than the first,
mm-hmm.
Running out of options. And lucky for me, I started on an experimental new therapy called smart targeted therapy. And I don't really know what they put in this stuff, but it's pretty freaking smart because
yeah.
it's got the disease into remission. Again, I was able to go on to get a second stem cell transplant, this time using my brother Lee as the donor. So now I'm 7 years in remission. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much. And healthy enough to go play Survivor.
I know. Then that's crazy.
It is crazy.
In a weird way, because Survivor, I mean, it looks so taxing. And here's the thing. So when I watch that show, I think there's would be so many times where I would be like, I'm out. I got to go. This is too hard. This is dangerous for me. This is stupid. Like, I'm probably not going to win. I could see myself doing that and be like, I got to pull the red flag or whatever. I'm out, you
yeah.
know? But there's people who are like really mentally tough. And obviously you were one of those people if you were able to win. In a weird way, did winning Survivor help you win the battle with cancer?
In a weird way, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, one, I'm playing for $1 million, one, I'm playing for my life. So
yeah.
let's put that aside. But like what I get back to, I said earlier, this game pushes you further than you'll ever be able to do it in a controlled atmosphere. So you know you're not going to die, but you can come as close to dying as possible.
Yeah.
And like it pushes you and then you got to push yourself even more. So I think I brought that attitude into the fight against cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up as an athlete, you know, I had a little bit of that competitive mentality. And so with Survivor and knowing how far I can really push myself and how skinny I got and tired and lethargic, and I still could muster the strength to go do some challenge or whatnot, that I think helped a lot going through cancer.
Yeah,
definitely.
So you've been in remission for the past 7 years, like you said. And at which point did you go back to Survivor in this journey? Because Yep. This is the third time now, right?
This is the third time. So first time was 2001, second time 2004, and now in 2020. So for me, there's a long time in between, mm-hmm. as I said before. And when I kind of forgot what the question was.
Well, I guess my question was just like timeline. Did you get sick before the second season?
Okay, no. So I got sick. Yes. Okay. I got sick in 2009.
Yeah.
So 2009 to 2013.
Yeah.
I was sick. And then now this is when the third Survivor came around. So, yeah.
All right. So you're back on, I guess we're now in present day. You're back on the show. Or you're about to go back on the show. What is your wife saying about? Is she like, yeah, go on the show?
So when I was sick for the second time, I was actually watching Survivor season 20, Heroes versus Villains, in my hospital room, like dreaming or praying that I'd be alive long enough or get out of this thing so I could go play again. Like I knew that something like this would be looming. But so 10 years later, they asked me back, and my wife was excited but nervous, mm-hmm. But totally encouraged me to go try this thing. Like I was probably more nervous than she was. Like I've lived a nice, comfortable life with, I got my two cats, you know, I got my wife, I got mounds of cannabis everywhere, you know, like it's life is good, you know? So like, here I am, you want me to go play Survivor and like, I don't have any of this stuff, yeah. right? You know? So I don't have my toolkit. And for me, cancer was okay. Like when a doctor tells you to do something, you die, you pretty much do it. There's no choices. But after cancer, what we call like survivorship, was torturous for me. Like I had a really tough time getting my life back together, you know, dump trucks full of uncertainty, invisible scars that need healing. Like, you know, I didn't look good. I didn't feel good. I was infertile. I didn't have a job. I didn't have health insurance. Like I'm not the guy you want to bring home to mom and say, hey, like this is, you know. So for me, getting myself to a place where I was just mentally stable was huge for me. So she was happy that I could go play again and that I was excited about doing it.
I mean, I see where you're coming from, and those are like internal issues, but on the other side of the coin, it's like, this is a guy who beat cancer. This is a guy who won Survivor, you know, like this is a guy who played professional soccer. You know, I see where you're coming from, but also there's the other side of the coin of like, Ethan's a badass. Don't forget it, you know?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
This has been so fascinating to hear your story, and it makes me feel very bad about what I've done with my career, but it's fine.
I don't have a podcast.
Well, you should have one. And guess what?
I'm not a bartender.
Where is she? I can make you a stiff drink.
I think you should be very proud of what you've accomplished, dude.
Well, thank you. I'll make you a stiff drink. You roll me up a nice fatty, and then everything will be fine.
No fire. It's instead of fire tokens, it's token by the fire. That's what we're doing.
Hey, quick break. When we come back, I want to do rapid fire questions with you. Is that cool?
Sounds real cool, best friend.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day Savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Back in the Wells cast, got Ethan Zahn on the show, a man who is, well, a survivor in many aspects, but you probably know him as the guy who won season 3 of Survivor, and now he's on the most recent season. Before we went to break, well, I joked about, like, I'll make you a drink, you roll me a fatty. and during break, you were like, that's like kind of a part of my life. Tell everyone how cannabis, I don't know, kind of helped you in your recovery process.
Yes. Well, you know, going through cancer, you know, I had used cannabis to mitigate some of the side effects of cancer treatment. Like, they pump you full of these synthetic pills, taking 5 pills just to get to bed at night and popping them in the morning to get it. So, like, I didn't like that lifestyle. I was trying to get away from it, trying to find something natural from the earth. And cannabis was that for me. From a medical, you know, perspective, I was an athlete. I never used it, you know, growing up at all, and I'm not a big drinker or any of that stuff. So in recovery from cancer, and then I kind of got more into CBD, and I take CBD every single day, like a multivitamin. And so I was really interested, if I'm going to be putting this stuff inside my body, I want to see where it's coming from, how it's grown, processed, all that stuff. So I invested in a 116-acre hemp farm in Plainfield, Vermont. Two of my buddies that I met on a reality show, Eco Challenge, way back in the day. This guy, Anthony Sullivan and Dave Christian. Anthony Sullivan, you might know, he's the OxyClean guy. He's like, oh, I'm Anthony Sullivan. This is OxyClean. Yeah, wet stains, get your stains low, clean. That guy. So he's one of my buddies. So I invested it because he wanted to grow hemp for his daughter who's having epileptic seizures. So, like, I really, for me, after being through what I've been through and all the synthetics and pharmaceuticals, like, I really wanted to get involved. So I moved up there for the summer. I planted, I harvested, I processed, and they're filming the whole thing for a reality television program. Yep. Called Kings of Kush, which will be airing probably, I don't know, whenever, but the same guy that does, like, Monster Garage, Ice Road Truckers, Deadliest Catch, you know, Tom Beers, he's involved. But yeah, it's a fully functioning farm, and it's going to be an incredible show. We got, products coming out. And it's been a really wonderful educational experience for me to be part of that process and to see something. I don't know if anyone's ever, like, just grown something from the earth and then you put it in your body, and I'm getting really hippie here, but it was a really neat experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that the conversation has been flipped and changed about cannabis and hemp and CBD in the past, like, 10 years. Especially on the medical side of things, the answer always seems to be just pump them full of more painkillers, and, you know, marijuana doesn't kill anyone, whereas Oxycontin and all that kind of stuff can really do some damage. So that's really cool. Can people buy your stuff right now, or is not yet?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say stuff like that?
I think
so. It's called the farm is called Mont Kush. Go to montkush.com. And, you know, you mentioned opioids, which I think is interesting because part of my whole process of getting involved with the industry is I'm a huge philanthropist. I love charity. So part of it is I launched a new charity, taking everything I learned from grassroots soccer. We're now applying that to cannabis. We feel cannabis is good for public health. We also believe if more kids start misusing cannabis and drugs, it's bad for the kids, bad for the industry. So we raise money from within the cannabis industry, and through our foundation called the Safe Roots Foundation, we fund the best evidence-based teenage drug prevention programs across the country.
Wow.
And so we feel that cannabis, you know, tobacco, anti-smoking, alcohol, drunk driving, iPhone, anti-screen time, same thing here. We're at the beginning of a brand new industry. They have the ability to make a real move the needle in the fight against drugs, because obviously it's not working with this whole opioid crisis that's happening. So we feel that's a really good way for the industry itself to give back to the world that we live in and make sure more kids stop using drugs.
Ethan, you're a good guy, man. Jeez Louise.
It's all the editing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We haven't edited this show. You seem like you're pretty badass. We'll end the show with some rapid fire.
Yep.
Thank you again so much for being on the show. This has been really cool.
Thank you for having me.
Answer as fast as you possibly can. Rapid fire questions with Ethan Zahn. Who was your first kiss?
Christina Zani.
Oh,
she gave on my bar mitzvah. It was my bar mitzvah present, and she shoved her tongue down my mouth. I said, "Oh my God, what is going on here?"
That's awesome.
Yeah.
First concert you ever went to?
Billy Joel.
Nice. First job you ever had?
I'm still trying to find
yeah,
one.
Yeah, cool. What was your first car? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was my brother's passed down Hyundai.
Nice. Yeah. Celebrity you get mistaken for?
Josh Groban.
Okay. I could see McDreamy too.
Ooh, I like that one. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Who gets you out of jail?
Paul Tedesco, my buddy from high school.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
People that walk, take up the whole sidewalk when they walk.
Yeah.
That's like
a tourist in New York.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Teacher that influenced your life the most?
Teacher, I mean, a soccer coach of mine, Dr. Andy Jennings from Vassar College, you know, big mentor of mine, teacher, coach. Yeah.
Stuck on an island with only one book, what would you bring?
Ooh. A Prayer for Owen Meany.
Okay. Is that what that one
no,
is?
No, this is Jessica Simpson. But I'm open. I'm into it. I'm on page three already.
If you won an Oscar, who would be the first person you thanked in your speech?
I would thank my wife, Lisa.
First, a favorite podcast other than this one?
American Fiasco, which is about the 1994 World Cup soccer team.
Very cool.
Yeah.
First record, cassette, or CD, what was it?
It was probably Billy Joel's Greatest Hits or The Cure.
Big Billy Joel guy over
here. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
No, and I love the Cure.
Well, I had
older
brothers. They took me to The Who, Prince, Billy Joel, Kiss, all that stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's one thing that's always in your fridge?
Carbonated water.
Okay. That's been Rapid Fire Questions with Ethan Zahn. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the Wells Cast. Your story is just bonkers and so inspirational and so empowering. And it always makes me feel good to see guys and ladies who get to do the reality TV thing, the 15 minutes of fame, and are able to pivot and use it into and make it into something. And you, my friend, are a trailblazer in that. Like you've done so much that it's quite honestly, it's intimidating, but it's so cool. And it's so cool to hear your story. So thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Well, thanks for having me and spending time and including me in your podcast. It's been awesome. Appreciate
and
that.
Again, if people want to find out more about you, where do they need to go?
EthanZahn.com.
And more about the grassroots soccer?
GrassrootsSoccer.org.
Ethan Zahn, you are the man, and I wish you luck. I hope you get out of purgatory and you win $2 million, bro.
Well, I will take you out for a nice fat meal.
Okay, sounds good.
Subscribe to Wellscast on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts. It's the internet.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.